The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
The following podcast may contain discussions supported by science that may be considered dangerous to some listeners and conspiracy theorists. Discretion is advised.
The Three Down Greencast is brought to you by Lucky Bastard Distillers, Saskatchewan's premier distillery, and by the Pilot Bowens Brewing Company, brewed in the heart of Regina.
Welcome to the Three Down Greencast. You are listening to the internet's only The Last Skype Users Ever podcast. I am Joel Gasson with John Fraser, as usual, as we do have a few things to get to.
Yes.
The Riders had the draft, and the whole league, not just the Riders, obviously, had the CFL draft last week. We will discuss that specifically because, and John and I are very open about this, we are not draft experts.
Nor do we pretend to play one on TV.
No. Or on the internets, like some people. Not anyone at Three Down Nation, by the way, in case you were trying to read between the lines there. That was not a shot at anyone within the organization.
No. Let's put it this way. We'll be very blunt. In terms of the Three Down knowing anything about the draft power rankings, literally everybody's in front of us at the org. Like,
yep.
If we were taking a shot at anybody at Three Down, it would be ourselves because we are the least draftiest guys.
Yeah. So we will mostly talk about the pick of Curtis Rourke, because I think that's the one that would obviously catch most people's attention. As for the rest of the picks, go listen to the Three Down Nation podcast draft recap episode with John Hodge and JC Abbott. They have a very good breakdown of basically every team's significant picks and talk about how they all did. Long story short, they both felt the Riders draft was pretty good. Maybe not out of the park, but pretty good. So we'll talk about that. Zach Collaros is in the news, so we're going to talk about that. We are two of the few people around the CFL who like to publicly talk differently about Zach Collaros than most people for some reason. We will get into that as well.
Yes. And this isn't just like a shtick thing.
This is
something that, after doing some research and reaching out to some people, I feel like my initial take is even stronger, but yeah, we'll get to that.
So, yes. We may sound a little different today. We are
sexier,
recording,
if you will.
Maybe. Because you may have heard the news that this past week, I believe it was on Monday, Skype officially shut down. Bill Gates and Microsoft decided that enough was enough. Apparently, I guess everyone was using Teams now on their platforms, except for two people. That would be myself and one Jonathan Q. Fraser.
That's right.
You may not know, we'll peel back the curtain a little bit. When we started this podcast many moons ago, I didn't know much about how we were going to go about recording this. And I was like, well, I have Skype on my computer. Why not use that? And then I found some third-party program that recorded the audio for us, because I believe at the time Skype just didn't do that naturally.
It also didn't,
no. No, because that was not really a thing a lot of people did, at least as widely, unless you had like professional equipment and all that sort of stuff. Skype was already free, so we had that, so it wasn't a big deal. I believe we paid a few bucks for this recording software. It wasn't a big deal. Got lots of use out of it, because until this week, we had literally still been using that exact same setup.
That one we paid like 10 bucks for?
Yeah. We've changed our mics a couple of times over the years, but
yeah.
That's kind of about it. So when the release came out, that Microsoft was shutting down Skype, you may have missed at the very bottom that they mentioned that as of today, still only two people were using it for about three quarters of the year. That would be John and I.
See, I feel like maybe we were the death of Skype because this was kind of being discussed like near the end of CFL season.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously we're still using it regularly into November. And then we kind of go into our personal off season, basically December till now.
Yeah.
I feel like we were probably the last two blips to go out there. Like, well, now even those guys aren't using it. We can get rid of it without hurting any feelings. So, I will miss, though, like, it was almost jarring now that we flipped to clean feed, was connecting and, like, you're just there. There's no Skype song.
No. Well, on my end, because I had to let you into the studio,
yes,
as they call it, there was, like, a single, like, beep. But yes, but yes, RIP the Skype, bing, 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 boom, 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 bing, boom, bing, which is basically how we always greeted each other as soon as you would answer because I generally called you.
Right, exactly, because you had to get the recorder set up. I don't know how the fuck to greet you now.
Yeah, like it's very strange.
Like, boom, you're there.
Like,
and
this is very, like, Zoom without video.
Yes, yes.
Because we are also probably going to be the last podcasters on Earth who remain audio only at some point. Maybe us in the Shutdown Fullcast. I don't know if they will ever fully go video.
Well, I know the Sickos won't ever go video either.
No? Okay. Okay.
No, so
I mean, that's good company to keep, the three of us, so that's good.
100%. We can be like...
Everyone says that we are at the same level as the Shutdown Fullcast and the Sickos Committee. Everyone says it.
By everyone, baby, Grammy, Mom.
Does Grammy know who they are?
You know what? Grammy's just going to say we're at the same level no matter what. That's fair, what a Grammy fair. Does, right? So, goodbye Skype. Hello, clean feed. And very clear sounding. So
yeah. At least now we'll see when I download the file and listen to it on my free editing software after.
Oh boy.
Because both of us have real jobs and this is not it. So we put very little into this. If you haven't noticed over the years.
that's even though it's funny, even though I could, like, when we started this, we were both like basically broke ass radio / X radio guys. So now it's like both of us are doing better and we could put money into it, but it's just like wired into our DNA to not.
Like, why? Why? Like, I don't know. I'm not, if for some reason, you know, our financial landscape changed significantly and I needed this to make money, I suppose, but.
But even like if it comes out, I will say, if it comes out sounding like potato quality, like when you downloaded linkinpark.num.exe.mp3.avi off your LimeWire, if it comes out sounding like some of those, like somebody clearly holding a cassette tape to a radio and then burning it onto a CD out of LimeWire, if it sounds like that, I could probably spring a couple bucks. I you know what? My good friend / accountant is coming over tomorrow for the Winnipeg Jets game, and I'll be like, hey, so this is a loss leader for me. Can I just like write this off? So we might be able to make this happen.
We probably could if we really wanted to. But I imagine everything I read online suggested that this was good, and it's not American. So that was a bonus.
There is the biggest. See, now I feel more obliged to spend money because it's not American.
Mm-hmm.
If it was American, it would be like, nah, give me the free shit. I'm not giving you my dollars.
Mm-hmm. You helped raise some dollars recently.
Absolutely.
You may have noticed last time we recorded, I don't remember when that was. It was a few weeks ago at least. Maybe even months ago, I don't know. Sometime between Ana Nation and now, we did record an episode and we teased that you were going to do a comedy set for the Kinsmen Club up there.
Yes.
Sources leaked that set to me.
Yes.
It was you.
And and it was recorded by friend of the show, curling teammate Luke Suretsky.
Yes. Very job well done. It was.
Thank you.
It was quite funny. It was good for someone who had never done that before, because I think a lot of people think, oh, you know, I mean, like, I'll not to toot your own, not to toot your horn too much, but I mean, I consider you a pretty funny guy, but still doing like stand up comedy is very different than being like off the cuff funny, like I think you are.
Yes.
So. It was well done. I'll give you that.
It was honestly gas, and I do appreciate it because you're right. I do find my humor is kind of off the cuff. Out of all like the broadcasting gigs, out of all the events I've done, out of all the times I've done PA, in stands, whatever, this was by far the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just there's nothing more nerve-wracking than going into a room and being like, okay, am I funny? And we had our coaches just top-notch. We had great coaching. We had rehearsals. But I'll be the first to admit, the rehearsals in front of, like, the other competitors and some friends of mine from the Kinsmen Club were the most intimidating thing I've ever done. Like, you're in a room of 12 people.
I think a lot of people think that. It's like, well, you're a broadcaster. You're used to talking to people. I'm like, yeah, I'm used to talking to an empty room and a microphone.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? Or, when you're broadcasting a game, yeah, there's thousands of people in the arena, but no one's looking at you.
No. And it's almost, it's this weird thing where a large crowd becomes its own entity.
Mm-hmm.
And you can command a large crowd when you're in front of them to basically do what you want, if that makes any sense, right? Like,
yep.
If you're doing in-stands at a Rider game, a Blades game, like, I've done it for the Blades, I've done it for various junior hockey teams throughout my days, you basically say, make some noise, and they make noise, right? You say, you know, goal scored by whoever, and the crowd goes wild. You know, you don't have to come up with material that you think is going to be funny. And the jarring thing to me was the shit that I thought that didn't really get laughs during the rehearsals got major laughs that night, and the shit that got laughs didn't. And it was very weird. Like,
yeah. And I was talking with you about this before we started recording I picked up on that watching the video. I was like, oh, John didn't expect that to land, and it did. Yeah. Oh, John expected that to land, and it didn't, like, to the degree you thought it would.
Right. I mean, the biggest laugh I got was I made a gesture that I tried to seduce a customer into buying extended warranty, but had to bribe her because I paused and I, like, stuck out my gut and I made a gesture to my gut and everybody, like, nervously laughed. And I said, okay, it's fine. You can laugh. I know I look like an unfuckable Saskatoonberry. Brought the place down.
It did.
And I'm like, oh, wow. In rehearsals, that was like an empathetic, like, little, oh, poor you chuckle. No, that brought the place down. And it was all downhill from there. So, yeah, very difficult, but I think it was weird. I would do it again.
Okay. Yeah.
I would. If ever asked back by the Kinsmen, I would do it under, again, certain circumstances. Like, I don't think I'm ready to go to every open mic night and start killing it and make this a viable thing, but...
No.
I'm
pretty sure you do enough. Lacey would probably murder you if you tried to add another thing to it.
Oh yeah, I don't. I have a real job and three fake ones, right? I think that I know Clayton Croker. I Clayton Croker was very funny. You'll know him from local radio here in Saskatoon. I've said, like, hey, like, if you're doing a show at a small town bar or something, you know, I'd come with you for an evening and do a quick 10-minute opener or something, right? Like something like that. But yeah, it's funny. It's one of those things that you look at. The amount of people are like, I could never do that. Yeah, it was hard. And but at the end of the day, we got the email this week. The net, not the gross, the net proceeds raised was $70,000 for the Kinsmen Club.
Wow.
And that goes towards everything in the city. You know, various people come up to ask, ask for support, you know, local lacrosse, local hockey, local football. Like, it's just, I've been in Kinsmen, and I can tell you the things that the Kinsmen clubs do around this country are first class, top notch, and really what serves the community. And yeah, it was I'm always willing to step up for them. And I could see this being a long term, very successful event for them. And I know next year I will just be buying a table and drinking my face off.
Now, there was I didn't talk to you about this part at all.
Okay.
There was one part of the set that stood out to me, and I'm curious if you can figure out which.
Okay. Pulse start vibrators. From Ontario, so everybody just assumes we're an asshole.
It's a very subtle part. It's not even really. It was one thing specific that you said.
What was it? Because I did throw something in there that I knew you'd like.
I don't even know if you know you said this. It's when you said, "There's no easy way to transition out of this."
Yes. That was. I was thinking of you. Yes. 100%.
Yeah. And I thought, in my head, I was like, hmm.
So he says to the King of Transition. No, that was actually, that was one of our coaches. That she's like, well, The vibrator story and the guy standing too close to you story kind of sound like one joke. You need a transition. And she's like, well, there really isn't an easy one, so you just need to go really over the top with it. And I thought of him like, okay, how would I do this on the podcast? And yes, that was a nod to your transition skills.
Yes. In your heart of hearts, if you truly believe you can transition out of anything, one toy the writers will not be returning will be their third round draft pick.
No, you did not.
Curtis Rourke.
Unbelievable.
I've been thinking about this one all week.
Holy shit. Hall of Fame. 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100, no notes. I'm switching to vodka. That was that good. Bye-bye, beer. Well done.
The writers obviously took Curtis Rourke third in the third round, so we'll be talking about that, Zach Collaros, and a whole bunch more. But as always, John, for the Pile of Bones Brewing Company, what is in the glass this week?
The Summer Double Fist is back. And actually, I'll be quick because I'll make this a triple fist this week. Adam from Pile of Bones was in at N's Toyota the other day. We were hanging out a bit. So last night, during the Jets game, I crushed 4 white IPAs. Tonight, I'm going with a Blackbridge IPA, clearly an IPA mood, and because I'm a degenerate, also shouting out our sponsors at the Lucky Bastard Distillers, Lucky Bastard Vodka, Pink Lemonade Mix, and Lemon.
Nice. For me, I still have some left from my 12-pack of Champal that was on sale recently.
Oh, that stuff was so good.
Just a nice, light, easy drinking, sort of straightforward beer, so... perfect for this time of year where it's, for some reason, 30 degrees at the start of May. So
yeah, I'm not going to lie. We started with the air conditioner. I'm recording in my bedroom tonight because the kids are excited about the newer season of Fortnite. I am a sweaty man right now. Like we by the end of this episode, I might be just in my gitch.
That's fair enough. One man who was fully clothed last week would have been Saskatchewan Rough Riders general manager Jeremy O'Day. At least I hope he was. It's not like the NFL draft where we see the war room, so I suppose anything's possible. of course, the draft came and went, and sort of the big topic, the big thing that the Riders did in that draft was their third-round pick, and that would be one Curtis Rourke. You may have heard of his brother, Nathan. And it's an interesting pick, and one that I really like. I know in the past that Jeremy O'Day, this is one thing he's kind of picked up from Chris Jones, is sort of taking that reach pick, taking that sort of futures pick, and just in case the guy comes to the CFL from the NFL. But to me, this is the one that is like the most obvious slam dunk. One that you have to make. And had they made it even in the second or maybe even the first round, I would have been perfectly fine with it. Because in the way I heard John Hodge and JC and those guys sort of talk about this draft a lot was there was a lot of defensive talent in this draft, apparently. So like the DBs and the defensive line are very good. So in the second, third rounds, you're still going to find guys who will be able to contribute to your team probably even this year.
Yes.
So, you know, that increases the value of the few receivers and offensive linemen and those guys to go earlier because you can still get these other guys later, even if it's not the exact guy you wanted.
Yes.
So had Curtis Rourke gone to the Riders, say, in the first round, I would have been like, okay, maybe it's a little bit of a reach, but it wasn't egregious. Third round to me is just great value for a guy who could potentially be one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in the league, should he come up here. Now, of course, the question is, should he come up here? But, I mean, he was a seventh-round pick in the NFL draft. Let's get one thing perfectly clear about that. I mean, yes, and this is weird to say, because he was drafted by the team that I believe has a quarterback, as their starting quarterback, who was drafted in the seventh round.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah. But realistically, and I don't know the numbers, but I can't imagine there have been too many seventh round draft pick quarterbacks in the NFL draft that have gone on to have had significant careers in the league. I'm sure they've all kind of stuck around a little bit and bounced around a little bit at times, but how many of them stay there for like 10 years? I can't imagine that number is very high. So I would say it is not unlikely that it is possible that we will very likely see, I know that's a lot of weird words.
That's a lot of really. Just
I don't even
put,
know
put,
if I.
What do you think a percentage on it?
I don't even know. Like I don't even. That was like triple negative that or something. It's above. It's got to be at least a 25-30% chance that we'll see Curtis Rourke here in, say, 2 to 3 years?
Yeah.
To me, in the third round, that's worth it. You know, there's kind of like a weird window. I would say that there is not a 0% chance that we could see him next year, depending on how things go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2 to 3, maybe 4 years from now is probably sort of that sweet spot where if he comes up, he could still do something. Anything longer than that, even though, is the start to the other side of it where I think, okay, he's just not coming.
Right.
So there's sort of that window where this is either going to pay off, I think, or it's not. And I think in the third round, that was certainly worth taking, because if he's here, all of a sudden, for both football reasons and marketing and business reasons, you've just hit an absolute grand slam.
I agree. The only thing I would say is a negative to the whole situation. I agree with you on the pick and everything, and I'm with you. It's probably maybe a 25 to 30% chance. I think that chance might be a little bit lower only based on the team he went to. He went to the San Francisco 49ers, right? Mm-hmm. For those out there that maybe don't watch the NFL game like we do, we're just sickos and watch all football. Kyle Shanahan is a quarterback guru. And he is the kind of head coach that will take the time to work with a guy where he sees something he likes, right? I mean, you know, he did take Brock Purdy and turn him into a great quarterback. Anybody in that system looks like a great quarterback. So my only fear would be that, to me, it'd be 50-50 whether we see him if he went to any of the other 31 NFL teams. It's just Shanahan is so good at developing quarterbacks and working his system around his quarterback that, you know, he might be there 2-3 years, and then you worry, okay, he's been collecting NFL salary for 2-3 years. Does he want to come play anymore? Question mark that you kind of see. So I think the third round is perfect, right? The third round in the CFL draft is, let's face it, third and fourth round, you're expecting one out of two of those guys to work out. I think the rest of their picks will eventually work out, be on the team, maybe as soon as this year. And, you know, I like the position they're in, right? The only, and especially too with, I'm going to get this wrong, Elgersma. Yeah.
Yep.
With Winnipeg taking him,
Which was also a great pick in round two.
Yep. Oh, 1,000,000%, because he is far more likely to end up in Canada as soon as next year. Right? Like, there's rumors.
It sounds like he could be signing in Green Bay. But, I mean, a UDFA, I mean, I don't know if the difference between a UDFA and a seventh-round pick is that great in terms of, you know, the politics of it all, but there is certainly a difference in terms of next season, for sure.
Oh, certainly. Like, I think...
Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Tyler Elgersma could be available after Labor Day, even, right? Like,
absolutely.
To at least, like, he probably won't see any snaps this year, but at least Winnipeg could bring him in and get him, you know, sort of used to the culture and the environment and the system and the whole thing, right? So,
well, that's it. Well, and especially with Chris Trevler being back, you could almost run him as your third string quarterback, because it's not like you're running them out there in short yardage. You're giving them a roster spot. You're letting them play, right? So him, I could see you see by Labor Day. I think Rourke, based on his pedigree, based on the kind of quarterback that Shanahan likes, it's probably 2 years down the road, and then you're just hoping that Trevor Harris holds on for 2 years. Because to me, I think you're seeing the swan song of Zach Kolaris happening in real time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fair. And yeah, like I really like the Elgersma pick in the second round to Winnipeg. They really needed that next guy, and he's one of those guys that could be. And I don't know. I'm just getting weird. You know, I'm getting really excited by all of these potential situations.
Right.
I mean, this could be an absolute boon for the league in the next few years. Like, hypothetically, all of this works out. In the West Division, 4 of your 5 starting quarterbacks could all be elite and all be Canadian.
I love it.
You could have Tyler you could have Elgersma in Winnipeg, Curtis Rourke in Saskatchewan, Trey Ford in Edmonton, and Nathan Rourke, presuming he bounces back to at least 80% of his form that he was during his MOP year. And
which, with a full camp and 2 seasons of the full with the same playbook,
I mean, so like that would be an absolute just the incredible situation for the league to be in. And, you know, not that I wish for anyone for their NFL opportunities to not work out. In the back of my head, though, is like if this doesn't, This could literally be game-changing for the CFL.
Oh, it would be massive because, let's face it, your quarterback is your face of your league, face of your franchises, and all of them being Canadian. Like, remember when you'd see a Canadian quarterback drafted? This wasn't even that long ago. Like, I'm talking like Brad Sinopoli. Like, when you and I were covering the league full-time, you'd see a guy like Sinopoli drafted with basically them with Ottawa saying, you're never going to play quarterback in this league.
Yeah.
Welcome to receiver, bud. Like, I remember even Brandon Bridge, oh, Air Canada. Yeah, they draft him, and it was this big thing. And he was not the quarterback that any of these guys are. But now you have CFL teams looking at Canadian quarterbacks and both sides of the border, right? Guys that play in NCAA, guys that are playing U Sports. And I think U Sports is finally getting the respect it deserves as a football league.
Well, like, I mean, it's absolutely wild that we're seeing in our lifetimes that we are alive to witness a U Sports quarterback.
Right.
Like a trained Canadian through and through, like grew up entirely through Canadian football, played U Sports, getting a shot in the NFL.
Well, and again, you're starting to see a little bit more of these guys that, to me, you've seen the great dispersal of athletes in Canada.
Yeah.
You know, as hockey has become more and more prohibitive to play, culture, cost, you name it, you're seeing great athletes filter into other sports, and I think you're seeing that in football, right? Where, you know, the Rourke brothers, you can't tell me those guys weren't good hockey players.
Yeah.
And 10 years ago, maybe that's all, 10, 20 years ago, maybe that's all they play, right? But you have to have it to be a professional athlete. That is the one thing I've learned from being around amateur and pro athletes. They just have it. Mm-hmm. It is hard to define, hard to describe, but it's something almost unquantifiable.
Yeah.
And the more athletes you have with it that are going to different sports, that's why you see we're good at basketball now, we're good at track and field, we're good at all these things, as everybody doesn't automatically become hockey players. And I think that's why you're seeing this next generation coming up, and it's great. As a football fan, I love the fact that Connor, who, shout out, my six-year-old, scored his first career touchdown last weekend in flag, playing for the, unfortunately, he's the NFL's Giants. Got his first career touchdown. You're starting to see now, you can look up and be like, yeah, that guy's Canadian. That guy, you know, played the same game you did growing up. And even my nephew, who's an elite football player at his age, you know, he's looking at these Canadian guys that are doing all this success, right? So it's just, it's cool. I love it. I love football. I think it's taken tremendous strides to make the game safer and more enjoyable for everybody. And yeah, it's wild to think where we are compared to where we were.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Some Canadians who did pave the way, of course, would be a couple of guys who are going into the Plaza of Honor for the Riders this year.
Yes.
Number one, offensive lineman Chris Best. I don't think there's any surprise here. This guy was an anchor on that line during, you know, sort of the, you know, part of the really good era of this team from 07 to 13. Honestly, great guy. One of the go-tos to talk to every single week. I can't even count the number of times I talked to Chris Best over the course of the 4 years I was on the beat covering the team every day. But truly a great guy, a great football player, deserved to get in. And Alex Smith Sr., of course, longtime coach, you know, around the Riders and just kind of a part of the football fabric of Saskatchewan as well.
Yes. Fun Chris Best story. I remember the year he was injured basically all year and then retired.
Yep.
I was working at CJWW and I was still doing the other podcast. I was still with Two and Out. And we had him on, and I'll never forget, I was so excited because we had him on, and he answered the question, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll be back this year. And I was fired up. I ran it as the lead on CJWW Sports. I was like, that's right, I got this exclusive interview. Ha ha, eat it, suck it, everybody. And he just never came back.
I mean, in fairness, he did say he thought.
Oh, 100%. He did. But I was like, calling up Les Lazarek after the interview. I'm like, Lester, can I use this as a source? And he's like, yeah, go for it. Great get. Like, we're all fired up. And then it was just six-game injured list. And again, nobody remembers that shit except for me.
Yeah.
Not a soul in Saskatchewan would have remembered that. But it's one of those things that I remember.
I mean, I barely remember Chris Best last year with the team. So
I just remember thinking, oh, my God, my podcast has made it. And yeah, I remember Chris Best mostly for that. He was a great interview, though. You're right.
Yes,
like,
he was.
Bang on.
Yep. Great dude.
I remember the 2 weeks of covering training camp wherever you needed, like, just a good, like, super, like, generic yet insightful quote. It was like, let's all talk to Chris Best.
he was definitely one of those guys. One of the guys who's currently, I guess, should be under the heat lamp a little bit right now, but doesn't appear to be all that much, is Winnipeg Blue Bombers quarterback Zach Collaris.
Yes.
If you haven't heard the news by now, he's been suspended the first game of the regular season for failure to take a drug test. These guys get drug tested periodically throughout the off season, and I guess in this case, Zach Collaris just didn't believe that he was getting drug tested in the off season because, as the story goes, as it's been told now through numerous sources and Zach himself was, the Canadian Center for Ethics and Sports reached out to him. He believed all of it appeared to be spam. And I can understand the story a bit to a degree, especially that first phone call. I'm that meme on the internet where it's like, we used to pay for ringtones and now my phone's been on silent for 15 years. Like, that's me. 100%.
I screen phone calls at work and I work in customer service.
I don't answer the phone often for numbers I do recognize, let alone ones I don't. Not that I get a lot of phone calls from numbers I do recognize. But... So, like, I can understand that with one phone call, not answering that. Cool. I get it. But since then, we've learned that there was multiple attempts to reach Zach Collaris during this sort of 24-hour period. Multiple phone calls, some text messages, emails, all of which just went unanswered, believed to have been spam. And I can still understand that to a degree. But at the end of the day, I think most of us can put two and two together. Like, I realize if I look at a phone number and I don't recognize it, it leaves a voicemail. I'm like, oh, maybe this is actually important and I should check my voicemail. Yes. Now, most of the time, these spam robots are leaving voice messages too now that are like halfway through the conversation they're having with themselves. But at least I've still checked and I knew that this was spam.
Right.
So to me, it just feels like everyone's sort of getting on the side of, you know, well, we just got to change the system and how this works and how we, you know, approach these athletes. And there needs to be, and maybe there is. I don't disagree that they could probably do this in a much better, more efficient way. That is very clearly who is trying to reach them, because I'm sure this happens many times over the offseason to many of the players.
Yes.
I'm not disagreeing with any of that. But at the end of the day, there's still another scenario where it seems like because it's Zach Collaris, everyone's just not making a big deal about it. And
nobody is.
For the record, I believe the one game suspension is fair. Players literally murder each other on the field and only get one game for it. So I have no problem with the length of suspension. I have no problem with changing the way this works. But it just seems that this is just another thing that seems to be washing off the back. And I don't understand how this is a scenario where apparently we all just sort of believe this story and everything's fine.
The more digging I've done, Gas, and I get it, like, this sounds like the boy who cried wolf. This sounds like I do this Zach Collaris, you know, beef for listens, and it's kind of become a part of the podcast that, you know, oh, we're the guys that call Zach out. I am disappointed.
Well, if you're doing it for listens, it's clearly not working, so it's fine.
100%, because there's seven of them. I'm actually disappointed in everybody in sports media, including several people here, for not doing a micro, not lifting your finger to do some basic research on this, okay? I have several large holes in his story. I think his story's bullshit. Like, quite frankly, it's bullshit. Like, you cannot, there's nothing you can say now at this point outside of he was on a remote fishing trip in Nunavut and show me photos of him landing a sturgeon.
Well, and this is sort of the aside of all this, is the CFL PR people.
Yes.
Need to understand that words matter.
Yes.
And I've learned that apparently there are, within the CBA, there are certain negotiated words that there are certain ways things have to be communicated publicly between the league and the PA, and that's fine. I can respect that. But at the same time, if the CFL is going to come out with a statement regarding the suspension, saying that it has been reduced to one game for, you know, extenuating circumstances, to me, that signals, oh, Zach was dealing with some kind of family emergency or something. Or, yeah, he was off in the middle of nowhere and didn't have his phone. Okay, I can totally understand those reasons if that's why he didn't respond. But since then, we've learned the reasons why he didn't respond, and those are not extenuating circumstances. I'm sorry. So no, the league did him no favors by calling it that.
No. And again, all Zach would have had to do is be like, yeah, I was on a fishing trip. And I think every soul goes, or a golf trip with the boys, right? Like, there's circumstances. You're not answering your phone unless it's, like, your HR department at work. And it's just, again, the stupidest thing, though, that I think that I don't know why we're all giving him the benefit of the doubt. I have my own deep-seated reasons. I'll maybe text you later. But CCES has been doing drug testing since the 2013 CBA. Mm-hmm. It was a big thing that they announced in 2013 because I remember you and I being the last two guys to talk to Ricky Foley in 2013 when he went the F off. And it was just like me and you looking at each other going, well, there goes my fluff piece story. And
well, for you, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I never paid attention to practice. But one of the big things was we have drug testing now. And it's going to make the sport more legitimate, everything like that. Zach Collaros was in the league in 2013.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me Zach Collaros has not been tested before.
Well, he has not. He said he's been tested multiple times and throughout his career. But there's no way he hasn't been like tested in the off season for how long he's been in this league. Like this is a very different scenario than, you know, the Ryder player who got busted and who didn't take a piss test, you know, with the guy right in front of him. Yes, that's exactly. Obviously very different. And he should be suspended the two games. but
in the same. So here's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
In my time in U Sports, CCES handles U Sports.
Yeah.
Okay. So I reached out to a few anonymous players that I happen to know. Okay. CCES now has an app that basically you just enter in this app. I'm going on a fishing trip. I'm unavailable this week. You know, you sign away, you know, some of your rights. Like CCES is tracking you at all times. And they want to know where you are at all times so they can come and do these random drug tests. I don't know how often a CFL player is drug tested. Maybe it's once every year. Maybe it's once every 3 years. I don't know. But they know everything about you. They know where you live. They know where you work. They know where you train. They know your gym. They know your spouse. They know your mom. They know your dad. And you're asked to check in. And that basically is a courtesy saying like, hey, if you are going on a fishing trip, please input it in this app so this doesn't happen to you. Everybody I spoke to basically says to avoid, to miss CCES, you'd have to be actively avoiding them. The other interesting thing, there's a strike system.
Yeah.
So this is not the first time this would have happened to the point that they would have had to go, because normally a missed test without telling them why is considered a fail, then you go through the appeals process, and we know how long that can take. I mean, we just saw that, us curling nerds just saw that with Breanne Harris, right?
Yep.
But to me, there is no feasible or plausible way, unless you lived in the middle of nowhere and had no cell service and had decided to live off the grid like your Aaron Rodgers, or you were on a month-long...
Maybe he was in a cave.
Right. If you're in a cave, weeks. But even I can guarantee you Aaron Rodgers said, I'm going into a cave for 2 weeks, because that's what you're required to do when CCES tests you. And I can confirm this. I spoke to multiple people. I did some research. If a 2-bit podcaster with a real fucking job can take the time to do 2 text messages, 3 or 4, you can't tell me some of these sports media can't do the same thing. But yet we just whitewash and glaze Zach Collaros like I don't, the guy's a great interview. The guy seems like genuinely a nice human being, and I'm sure I'd be terrified to say half these things to his face. I'd have one interaction with that Southern drawl, that charm, that smile. Dude's a handsome dude. I'd probably melt like just about anybody. But to come out and defend this, oh, things need to change. Bullshit. If things needed to change, we would have had a rash of these. Yeah. We'd have a story like this every offseason.
Well, I'm convinced, and there's no proof, there's no evidence, there's no reporting on it otherwise, because, I mean, I'm convinced that there has, like, been nobody players who have basically just been cut over this rather than having to serve a suspension.
100%. But there's no way, and I mean, you hear it, you hear players say it all the time. I have a great game, and they're waiting there to P-test me.
Yeah.
The guys that they're P-testing are not the guy you drafted in the 7th round of the CFL draft. That guy's been tested through U Sports, by the way. As Edmonton found out.
Yeah, and the guy who was on the entire pharmacy.
That's exactly it. So you can't tell me that these guys have been around this I don't know what the NCAA does. I don't know what they did back then. But college athletes right now are used to this. You are used to these guys needing to know where you all are at all times. And they, again, they know everything. They know they're going to come knock at your door. They're going to call your wife. They're going to call your wife's workplace. They're going to call everybody to try to get a hold of you. They're going to call your mom and dad. So, like, from my understanding, through a little bit of fucking research, it didn't take me long. It took me about 3 seconds, and I was busy ass at work today, to just find out that there's no way to, oh, I missed a couple calls, I had a couple unknown numbers. Nah, that doesn't happen. These emails are straightforward. Yeah. These texts are straightforward. The calls are straightforward. Hell, I even have, like, speech to, like, voicemail the text on my phone.
Yeah.
And for them to take action, because, again, there's strikes. There's, okay, you missed that one. We're coming again. It's just, it's way too damn fishy for me. And although I don't like to shit on sports media because there's about four people that do it nationally anymore, you got to do a better job.
Yeah, and like, and to me, and I know Zach did take responsibility for this. He didn't come up really with, like, saying, you know, he didn't pull out like the whole Andrew Harris thing, right? So
no, we didn't hear trace amounts, but I would have rather have heard, yeah, I was on a golf trip with the guys.
Yeah.
You know, like
no,
oh,
but
hey.
Yeah. But to me, the point, the other sort of point to this is, I think you got to be able to use your head a little bit. And if you're suddenly, like, no spammer is so, like, so wired and so into you that they're just going to send you, they're going to call you, like, twice and send you four text messages and two emails.
No.
Not within a 24-hour period. So maybe I would be like, okay, this phone number called. I mean, that's weird. Okay, that's maybe spam. Suddenly I got a couple of texts claiming to be the Center for Canadian Ethics and Sports. I'm probably talking to someone with my employer, in this case, Winnipeg Blue Bombers, being like, hey, is this real? And, you know, he probably would talk to Darren Cameron, their head of communications, and he probably would have said, yeah, probably, you should look into that.
or fucking Mike O'Shea, who probably also would have said, you should probably look into that, or anybody at the league, or any teammate, or any other human being he could have possibly been.
Or if you're entirely, if you still are entirely unsure, Google the Canadian Center for Ethics and Sports, find a way to contact them directly and ask for whoever, and see if this whoever's reaching, trying to reach you, is probably specifically on your file. So you ask for them, and if you get connected through, then clearly this is real.
I mean, there's no, like, again, at the end of the day, I think it's bullshit, because from my understanding, the only way to avoid these guys is to actively avoid these guys. This is not negligent. I'm not saying Zach Collaros is on the juice.
No.
I am not.
Nor do I think he should be burned at the stake for this. Like,
this
everything that's generally fair, the one game, the potential for change, all of that is fine. But there's this weird tone about it where everyone's like, oh, shuck, Zach, you can't do anything wrong.
That is exactly it. And that is a sign of the death of sports media in this country, that nobody is challenging it.